This is Patsy with a Z. Welcome to Joy on Paper, a program for writers and those who dream of writing. You know, I know up north they're going to be in the snow, and they're going to be snug and tucked into their cozy chairs, and they need a good book to read, because when you are freezing, it is wonderful to read a suspense book, because it gives you that little thrill that you need to keep you turning the pages. And I'm so happy to welcome to Joy on Paper Terry Parlato, so that we can talk about her book, All the Dark Places. And it is really a riveting novel of suspense. And it does have a shocking twist. So it's just so nice to have you on the show, Terry. Hi.
Hi, Patsy. How are you?
Well, I'm glad that we finally got together, because, and it's just perfect, because in this book, it starts with a snowy night, a cold and snowy night, and lot of people are going to be in that. Even here, we're going to have 36 degrees here in Florida next week for Christmas, so everybody's going to be tucked in, and they need a good book to read, so I think they're going to enjoy this book, which is full of suspense, and as I said, it's called All the Dark Places. And is it true that this is your first book?
It's my first published book, but I've been writing stories for more than 50 years, actually. I've got manuscripts piled all over my office, my basement, my attic. So I've been writing for a very long time.
But it's always that first one that gets published. That's it. It's the start.
Right.
It's the start of what I am sure are going to be many, many more books. Because what I loved about this book, as I said, it starts in a cold night, and there's a party, and there's snow, and you manage to paint a really great picture. You take your reader right there. We feel it, and this is the important thing. When a reader starts to think that, they're there. They're right there at the party. And I thought it was just a great start, and I was so happy when I was thinking about it, your first book, and how very happy you must be today. I know.
I am.
It's a thrill, isn't it?
It is. It's so thrilling after all these years that, it was kind of like this dream that was way out there, after all my, professional life, my family life, and all of that this has actually happened. It's so exciting.
And that it is in effect, a police procedural, which is not an easy thing to write. And so it was interesting that, you got into this idea and you developed a very fascinating character, your main character, who, it's always great when you have a main character that people can grab onto. So tell us about her, and tell us about... with a suspense book, it's always hard to say what you're going to tell, but tell me what you want to explain.
Would you like me to talk about my detective, or...
Your detective, the detective, because I think we're going to see a lot of her over the next few years.
I hope so. I really hope so, yes. I love Rita. When I started this book, I wanted a detective who was at least 60 years old. I'm in my lower 60s. My friends, most of them, are about the same age. And it's like, we're not ready to retire. We're not ready to, say that, we've lived our lives or whatever. But so I loved creating Rita. She's strong. She's vibrant. She's attractive. She's, vital. She's, not ready to step into the shadow. So that was really important to me.
That's what I thought, too. I thought when I was reading Rita Myers, wow, I thought, this is great. We have somebody who I know that all the suspense-loving readers will appreciate, and you're right. Mm. At 60, who's 60? Today's 60 is yesterday's 40, so...
Right. I love creating Rita's character, and, I hope that she has many more crimes to solve. It was helpful to me. I'm in a writer's group and have been for a while. And one of our group members is a former police officer. So that was very helpful in writing Rita.
And good resource.
And he's a young man, too. So it's like, okay, well, if this young man can appreciate this 60-year-old woman, then, you know, I think other people will like her too.
I do, and I like the idea that she looks on it with the new partner as a opportunity, not just to solve a crime, but also to teach a young guy or a young gal the ropes. Mm-hmm. I like that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I thought that was important too. That you know, she's an expert. She's got lots of experience, and it seemed kind of a natural thing for her to want to nurture younger detectives and police officers.
So it's here we have a dark and snowy night, and we have a crime. And the story is told in alternate people. You have, of course, Rita, and then you have Molly, who, now, what do you want to explain? And how much do you want to give away? Don't give away the twist.
That's always tough when you're talking about mysteries and suspense.
I mean, in a way, I hate even to say what's going to happen after the party. I know. You know, they put it on Amazon and they'll say...
Right, you see it there, yeah.
But I actually never read those until after I've read the book. I never read the blurbs. I never read what's on any of the, you know, Amazon or anything. I don't want to know. It comes as a surprise. And you're good at that. I mean, you are very good at just... You have a nice style that you give enough away that we know something's going to happen, but we're not sure what's going to happen. But I suppose, I don't know, now with nowadays you have to tell people, I suppose. I don't know. I'm against it, but you tell people what you want to tell.
Well, like you said, I kind of don't want to know either when I pick up a book. I'd like to be totally surprised. So I'm the kind of reader, too, who I don't really read much about a book before I pick it up because I'm the same way. But... Well, as far as Molly goes, I just guess want people to know that she's a woman who has been through a lot of trauma. And, of course, when the book gets going, she's going to go through even more trauma. But I wanted to write a book about, from her perspective, a woman who is just dealing with not only present trauma, but past trauma as well. So I don't know if that gives you
Yeah,
enough.
I think that I like that better. I like that because you're right. The past trauma is also very relevant to the story, and and I like the way that you build it up, the way that you throw in, you know, it's not easy to keep a book suspenseful, and I think you've done, you know, a pretty good job at that, and it's important.
Thank you. Yeah, it is tough. You know, you want to keep the reader interested and trying to figure it out, and yeah, it's hard to figure out how to place those clues without giving the game away. You know, you want to bring the reader through all of those pages and not figure it out in the second chapter.
Well, now, you were a teacher for many years, right?
Yes.
And you taught writing?
I did.
What authors influenced you? And I'm talking about not modern authors, but authors from the past. When you were teaching your students, what authors were the big influence on your life and your writing?
Well, if we want to go way back, because I've been a reader as long as I can remember, and a writer at 5 years old, the first book that really, really spoke to me and made me want to be a writer was Little Women. I wanted to be Jo March. I thought that, wow, that's what I want to do. You know, she wrote to, as Louisa May Alcott did as well, you know, she wrote to support her family. This is incredible. I want to be Jo March. So that was my first big literary influence.
As it was mine.
I think a lot of us, I think that's one reason that book is so special, is that, you know, for those of us who are big readers and writers, I think most of us were inspired by Jo March. Let's see. I think another one of my big influences, at least as I go through my life in high school, was The Catcher in the Rye. I love that book, and I love teaching it because I got to teach it in high school. And as far as looking into the psychology of a character, I think that's one of the best books that we have that explores psychology. And I'm big on that. And I think you see that some in All the Dark Places.
Yes, definitely. I got that. One of the things I've been sort of asking women who did start reading at a young age, Jane Austen or Charlotte Bronte or Emily Bronte, which one spoke to you as a young person?
Oh, that's hard to say. Because I love Wuthering Heights. Love Jane Eyre, you know, and
it's hard.
Pride and Prejudice. I mean, yeah, I mean, all of them were just, all of those books, I think, spoke to me in different ways. And I haven't read them again recently, but I need to.
You need to. I've just done it again, and I thought, and I'm thinking about what we thought about them as young women, well, as girls, mm-hmm. really, because we read them. I'm sure you read them when you were very young. And
yeah,
which
yeah.
of the men we thought were the best? Which ones we uh-huh. liked? Were we Darcy? Were we, you know, were we
right,
Heathcliff?
Right.
Were we Rochester? And what we feel about them today? Because when mm-hmm. you read about them, when you reread the books, you know, I think so many young women were crazy about Darcy.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not sure. I was always Jane Eyre. I was always
uh-huh.
that was
yes.
my book.
Mm-hmm. Yes, I love Jane Eyre. Yep, and yeah, and I do need to read them again because it's been a while.
I don't know how long ago you stopped teaching, but I really wish young women and guys, I wish that they would just read more, but particularly mm-hmm. these books, because.
Yeah.
You don't get it in the movies. I mean, you don't get that
right.
thrill. You can see the
right.
movies, and they go out of your head. But when you read
right.
the book, mm-hmm. I remember the day that I took Louisa May Alcott out of the library.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I remember the exact day, because
mm-hmm.
it was my first time I had been in a library, because I
mm-hmm.
we had moved to the city. My big sister took me to the library, to the children's room, and I started
mm-hmm.
at A, and I read uh-huh. all around the room.
Oh, wow.
And I remember the day that I took Little Women.
Mm-hmm.
It had such an impact.
Yeah, I finished teaching in 2017. I love teaching. I love the literature, of course. One of my favorite things was bringing some of that literature to life for my students. They don't read as much as we would like them to read, but I think part of it is because no one has showed them how to read, how to, you know, decipher the language, you know, because I taught, you know, the Scarlet Letter. I mean, that was written a very long time ago. And, of course, the style is very different from what kids get in the novels they read today. And I think what was so important, and I like to express this to the other teachers, I was department chair for a while, is you've got to decipher the language, you've got to give them the historical background, and let them know, like, the Scarlet Letter is about a single mom who people talk about, you know, things that are really, that we can relate to today, that the kids can relate to. And if they don't understand the language either, they don't get that Nathaniel Hawthorne was hilarious. There, you wouldn't think that, the Scarlet Letter, but there are some hilarious things. And once I kind of explained to the kids, and I read out loud, I encouraged all English teachers, read out loud so they can hear it jump off the page. And, you know, when they could hear those scenes, and visualize those scenes, it really made a difference. If you just hand a kid a 200-year-old novel and say, here, go read it on your own and answer these questions and whatever, they're not going to, it's not going to work.
Well, you know, I'm telling you, you are fantastic, because that's exactly
you.
The attitude I want from teachers, which unfortunately we don't get a lot. I think you've
mm-hmm.
got the right idea. And I think what as I was reading, you know, all the dark places, I had this feeling that you have, well, I mean, I know that you have depth. There's depth in your writing.
You
understand words. You understand how to tell a story. And I, you know, I didn't want to give it away. I didn't want to give away what happens. I really think people get this book. It's called All the Dark Places. It is just very well written. And Terry, I think you've got your main character. We're going to be seeing a lot of Rita in the future. You have to remember that Mary Higgins Clark was writing until she was 89 years old, and she was on my program. And you,
oh,
so
wow.
you have got a lot of years ahead of you and a lot of books in this series, which is going to be, I think, a very popular series. It's great for a cold winter night. You snuggle down, you take this book out, and you will have a good read. you have the right attitude. Terry Parlato, the name of the book is All the Dark Places. It's her first book. She didn't give up. People listen. She wrote and wrote and wrote, and finally it happens. These things happen, and this is, for you, a Christmas miracle, right?
It surely is, and I'm so excited, and I'm so grateful to everyone.
Well, I think you've done a great job, and I want everybody to get this book. Do you have a website?
TerryParlato.com.
Okay, TerryParlato.com. And you'll be back next year, because now that you've got this book out, I'm sure you're working on the second one, right?
I am.
I knew it. When I felt the enthusiasm in your writing, and I said to myself, she's not giving this character up. Okay?
Thank you so much, Cassie. It's been wonderful talking to you.
Okay, it's been a joy to talk to you. Bye-bye now. Bye-bye now.